Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
Was on the verge of, you know, this lung.
Jokic. Harris goes again.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am your host, Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio on the Dash Radio Network. It is 4 o'clock here in the Mile High City, and if you have not figured it out, the next hour on Nothing But Net is all about the Denver Nuggets. And what a show it is. We are here. Media Day is Monday. The NBA season is officially beginning. And what better co-host to bring on with me today than the man we are sending on location for the start of preseason? It is Mike Olson. He'll be in Los Angeles right now, still in Colorado. Mike, what's going on?
How you doing, Zach? I like that idea. I'm on site for preseason. It's not that I actually live in LA. it's that I'm going out to cover preseason. That's brilliant, man. I love it.
I mean. It's in this business, you got to take any competitive advantage you can get, right? So we will definitely be playing that up. But no, that's actually going to be kind of cool. We are in fact sending both Adam Mattes and Brendan Vogt out there as well to cover sort of preseason. So it's almost like, you know, I mean, it's practically Stiffapalooza in Los Angeles.
It really is. I'm kind of excited. They mentioned it to me this last weekend when we were all together, and excited to see those guys spend a little time and see what the Nuggets can do against a couple of Lakers and Clippers games out there. That'll be fun.
That's right. You get to so Mike, you'll get to see LeBron James, his very first game in a Lakers jersey.
Yeah.
First
preseason sellout, right?
I mean, that's awesome. That's right. Yeah, no doubt. That thing is going to be absolutely packed. I wonder how much tickets for that are going for. Probably like it's got to be well over $100, right?
It has to be. I mean, I know when I was trying to cover preseason 2 years ago, the Nuggets actually couldn't even get me into Lakers preseason games, at least at the Staples Center. I had to go out to the one that was clear out east of LA in Ontario. And it sounds like this year we're at least going to be able to get in. But my gosh, that's Lakers country. I'm wanting that for the Nuggets these days. You know, let's get people right. That kind of excited in Denver.
That's right. You know what? Before I came on the show, I was watching Nikola Jokic highlight videos, getting me hyped up. I was like, "All right, it's ready. It's like I said, it's time. It's here.
It's time."
The season is just upon us. One final note there on the Lakers. I'm very appreciative that they are not having a game in Ontario, because of course you abbreviate California, CA. So when you see Ontario, CA, you're thinking, "Wow." It's playing in Canada.
That's true. I hadn't really thought about that. I grew up out by Ontario for a few years as a kid, and so it's always the first place I think of. And when somebody's talking about Canada, I'm usually pointing in the other direction the wrong way. So, yeah, I didn't think about that.
See, all the more reason, Mike, to have you on location out there, because you are our insider in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are enough about the Lakers. We certainly don't want to give them any more airtime. They get plenty on their own. We are going to basically spend the show. We're going to do it a little different than we would normally do a format. We basically have one subject, which is Media Day. And I guess so you could say Media Day and the season preview for the Denver Nuggets. We've got a whole smorgasbord of topics. I do not have word of the day toilet paper, if you're asking. But we have plenty of stuff to go over. I want to talk about if there's some camp battles. We got to talk about muscle watch, right? It's a shame we couldn't get Brendan Vogt on. He could get an update on his calf watch 2018. Yeah. He's been on that one for us.
I thought he was talking about baby cows the first time he said that. Now I'm really worried. I mean, he's checking out guys' calves. That's okay, Brendan. That's you're in deep cover now, buddy. So
Mike was much happier when it was just, you know, an easy sell of Brendan there lying in some grassy field with his camera.
Exactly.
Taking artistic photos
of calves. What are we doing?
Oh, his world came crashing down when he figured it out.
It did. It did.
We're just way off topic. Yeah, I love it. Always. I love it. You know, one of the most interesting things about Media Day last year, I think, is the pointed questions were asked about whether or not it was playoffs or bust. The Nuggets pretty much dodged that question last season. I want to see if they'll dodge it. I was going to ask that question. And then I was like, well, of course, that's the question everybody's going to ask. That'll be the first question.
I hope they don't dodge it. I mean, to your point, I remember that because I remember you and I chatting about it post Media Day last year. And I was a little bit disappointed about that, just to say, you know, we're going to see what it turns into. And we're, you know, it was very much the, we'll take the adventure as it comes, right? At least from what you told me. And, you know, I think this year it absolutely has to be playoffs or bust. You know, you get a game and a half out the season before, you literally get a point away from the playoffs this last year. I think, you know, last season of Malone's contract, all the rest, this is the bubble, man. This is the year. You're in or you're out.
Absolutely. And there's I want to dive into what you mentioned, Malone on his final season as well. That's something else we want to talk about. And then, I mean, we'll wrap up the show finally. We'll actually make some predictions, which I honestly haven't even thought about. I'm going to have to totally, as we're going through the show, figure out how many wins these Nuggets are going to get. But I have a kind of an idea. You know, you can always let Vegas be your guide, at least for a prediction, though not as recently with the Nuggets. But that is going to basically take up the entire show. So it is going to be a good one, I think, and we're going to have all kinds of exciting stuff. And then, of course, make sure you are following everybody on Twitter. Mike's at Visible Mike. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Adam Mottes is at Adam _ Mottes. Brendan Vogt, BVOGT 422. All of us will be out there. Well, Mike, you won't be at Media Day, correct? You'll already be back in Los Angeles.
That's right. I'm actually headed back tomorrow on a road trip back home. So
gotcha. Yeah. So, but Mike will obviously be out there in Los Angeles for the start of preseason. Make sure you're following all of us, guys. We are going to be doing all kinds of updates. Make sure you're checking out DenverCivs.com, all of our social media platforms as well. At the Denver Civs on Instagram and also on Facebook. Tons of stuff, man. It's going to be an exciting season. Micah, you referenced that we had our big annual meeting last weekend, and I think we're probably gearing up for our biggest year yet. And not only are the Nuggets gearing up, I think, for their biggest year yet, at least in this era, this Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic era, but the Denver Civs gearing up for their biggest year yet, I think, in the Adam Mottes era.
You definitely sensed the excitement. I mean, not just with us about, you know, what we're going to be doing for some new stuff this season and stuff we're looking forward to covering and writing about. But to me, I just, everybody I talk to, whether they're Nuggets fans or not, anybody that knows that I'm a Nuggets fan, has read enough this offseason that people, there's definitely a different vibe coming into this season this year. There's higher expectations, and I think it's going to be fun. But I also, you know, we've all watched some pretty crappy seasons since each of us came into Stiffs. I came in just in time for the Brian Shaw era, and I think I'm the oldest Stiffs member now. And so pretty much the guys that make up Stiffs now are guys who have watched some really tough times for the Nuggets. It'll be really interesting to me if they have a tough start to the season or something like that, just how many of the Nuggets faithful are literally gonna lose it, because this is supposed to be the year that everything finally comes together, you know?
That is a great point. There's expectations this year. There absolutely is. And with expectations will come criticism if you fail to meet them. And Nuggets fans are fickle. They just are, especially in Denver, especially when you're competing with the Broncos in the fall. If they get off to a rough start, it could be a very, very interesting how that, I don't want to even say narrative, but just how the fan reaction will be, I think is going to be, it could be pretty tough.
Yeah, I agree. I don't expect it, but if it happens, there's going to get interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's dive into media day. So the very first thing, we talk plenty about Cavs already, but I guess let's put it this way. Mike, who are you looking for? Hooters interviewer are going to be paying attention to when in terms of, because of course everybody's going to ask you, what were you working on this season? Everybody's going to be talking about who's in shape, who's looking the best, looking like they put in the most time in the gym in the off season. What player are you looking for to give you some insight on what they were working on in the off season?
Well, you were the one who sent me the Vlatko picks, so I don't think that anybody's going to be able to show up like that. I don't know what he was working out on and eating over the summer, but man, we need everybody to go do that. I know that Steve Hess is long gone, but I think, you know, Hessification, at least where I want to see it the most, where I think it's most needed. You could definitely see in some of the stuff that we saw for Basketball Without Borders, you know, Jokic is definitely trim as I've ever seen him. Right. And you gotta get, I mean, you know, Hess used to talk about it all the time. You gotta get leaned out before you start to put that muscle on. And, he is now leaned out. I'm looking forward to seeing how Jokic shows up, whether or not there will be any added, muscle there. You know, the other guy I'd love to see kind of beef up a little bit, Juancho Hernan Gomez. His brother has got a little more meat on the bone and plays pretty well with it and because of it. I'd love to see Juancho show up a little bit more, looking like Willie this season. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Juancho's a good pick because that's I think where he'll maybe have a chance is to maybe push Trey Lyles, which we'll talk about here in a bit. But if he's going to do that, it's probably going to be at the power forward position, right? So that means he's going to need to be able to be a little bit stronger. And even at the small forward position, just having that extra strength will really help him kind of overpower his guys because he'll obviously have the size if he's playing at the three. So having that added strength will just make him that much more effective, especially on defense, which is obviously, if you could play defense, give Coach Malone good defense on the wings off the bench, you're probably going to play. Torrey Craig proved that last season. So, yeah. No, those are two good picks. I think, yeah, definitely everybody's looking at Jokic, going to be paying attention to. It's not even muscle watch. It's like you said, lean watch. You know, we're going to have to find. We want to see how kind of trim he is and then hopefully ready to build on that throughout the season. The thing about Jokic, though, is that he's one of those guys that even if he's not in great shape, you know he's still going to be extremely effective because none of his game is actually really all that based on athleticism. You really hope it's the conditioning, right, that he's got, that he's going to be able to play because the Nuggets should be relying on him this year to probably play around, like, you know, 35 minutes a game. For him to do that, he's going to obviously have to be in excellent physical condition and have great endurance. So that's kind of what I'll be looking for there. That's going to be hard to gauge, obviously, just there at media day. Another thing I really want to ask all the guys there on the plan to is, you know, just how long have they been in Denver? From what we've been able to see through social media, whether Instagram or Twitter or whatever, I mean, all these guys have seemed to have been working out here in Denver for some time. So I'm curious to find out how long they've all been in there, and then, you know, curious to just ask them how they think that's made an impact so far early, because I think this year it really seems like the team has a great chemistry as well, and that, you know, there's very few players. I mean, obviously Isaiah Thomas is kind of a big new addition, but other than that, there's really not anybody who's going to be a guy that they're going to lean on a ton, at least in the very get-go, who wasn't with the team last season, you know, who wasn't already a part of this group. So that'll be, I think that's kind of not even muscle watch, but just, you know, I want to see a team bonding watch.
Yeah. It's a good one. I like it.
Got a bug in my throat there, but no, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be an interesting thing to see, I think, with all those, hear all those guys' different stories. But one of the things I'll definitely be watching out there as well is going to be, you know, what kind of camp battles are there. I think for the most part the Nuggets rotation is fairly filled out, and so you're maybe talking about that eighth and ninth spot, maybe 10th spot if the coach ends up going 10 deep in the rotation that are really up for grabs. Mike, what do you think? I mean, how many spots are there? Is it one spot in the rotations up for grabs? Zero spots? Two spots?
You know, I I loved this question as I was going through everything you'd thrown out for today. It and only because it hadn't really occurred to me just how sort of, at least in my mind, set in stone a lot of this is. I don't really see, you know, barring anything really strange happening via either injury or somebody just coming out of the woodwork, I think our starting five is pretty well set, to your point.
Right.
And I think there's pretty clear-cut backups, at least as far as I'm concerned, out of the gates at center. Assuming that Isaiah Thomas is not able to start, I think you've got a clear-cut kind of only backup, you know, in Monty Morris at point guard. I feel pretty clear cut anyway, you know, both of the guard slots anyway. And I think to your question here, Zach, out of all of them, I think I'll be interested to see if, you know, as you'd mentioned a little bit ago, if Wancho doesn't press Trey Lyles, if one of those guys doesn't really push the other one really hard into something that, you know, I'm kind of excited about it because we've seen some pretty great sparks out of both of those guys. If they're both pushing right. each other, we may have some really interesting rotations coming in at the four. I'm excited about that. And I'm not sure which of those guys could take it. So to me, that's one slot I see open. What about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's one of the ones you would look at. Probably that's like the eighth spot in that rotation. And you figure Trey Lyles has the upper hand. He was the guy who had that spot last season and did well in it. But Wancho is a guy who the Nuggets, you know, this is his third year. This is when you start getting into team options and yep. okay, well, are we going to keep him next season or are we going to let him go? And if he can't push Lyles this season, I mean, this is his third year now.
Yeah.
At that point, you start to really, you know, if you look at how many guys basically couldn't crack a rotation in their first three seasons, the vast majority of them are out of the league within, you know, the next 3 or 4 years. So that's kind of where you got to watch out for a guy like Wancho, and he's definitely someone who's gonna need to push for a camp spot. I think Trey Lyles, though, I think he's got a pretty good hold on that spot. The other place I think you look at is Torrey Craig. Obviously, you would assume would be in that kind of ninth spot in the rotation, providing that wing as that wing defender off the bench. That's going to be up to a lot of guys, though, to seize that opportunity if they want it. We talked about Wancho maybe being a guy who could be more of a wing defender, and if he could do that, then maybe, you know, Torrey Craig doesn't play as much. Malik Beasley is in the same boat. He's a guy who basically is the same size as Torrey Craig. Is very athletic, but also like Wancho in his third season, and it's kind of a very much a prove it season for him as well. So that's, I think, the other spot that you see get pushed. The interesting thing that I was thinking about, Mike, while you were bringing up kind of the set spots that are set, let me throw this hypothetical at you. Let's say Isaiah Thomas is not ready to go to start the season.
Oh, we're Monty going down Morris. The same road. I love this. Yeah, I love where you're going. Go. Oh, yeah,
so Monty Morris ends up playing really well, right?
Yeah.
How does that work in the rotation? Would you bench him? Would you just not play Isaiah Thomas? Would you somehow have to figure out how to play both of them? And then maybe Torrey Craig doesn't play minutes?
I mean, I think you've got to at least give him some time. I actually, so I was headed a slightly different route with this, and that's a great question, Zach, because I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. But yeah, I mean, Morris looked so good at Summer League, and I know that's a very different level of competition, but I think he's an NBA ready point guard, and he really spent a lot of time in our system last year. I think he's going to really show up. And so that's a great question. I mean, if he really comes in and makes a lot of noise and they're doing well without IT even having come in, boy, that's going to get a little awkward just from an odd man out, because this is his, you know, prove it or lose it type of season for IT. And so I think because they seem to have a good relationship and a lot of respect, it would seem to me like if they went that far down that road, maybe they'd find a way to get him to someplace he could play. Before trade deadline or something like that. But that's really interesting. I was actually looking at it from a different angle, thinking I could actually see a weird shakeup in the starters, only from the perspective of, let's say Isaiah Thomas can't play, and let's say that those second five guys can't score, basically, right? And I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but if they can't, and we did see some of that last year where, you know, the bench play really suffered when Barton moved up to the starters, right? Right. I could see them giving at least a little bit of thought with that much firepower on the starting five of shaking it up enough that you actually roll Craig in for Barton, which is not going to thrill Will, basically, you know, but you roll Craig in for, but now you've got more defense on that starting five. You've probably still got plenty of firepower, and now you've got somebody who can at least shake things up on the bench. And, you know, I wouldn't want to see it go that way, but I could definitely see that shaking out as well if IT can't play early and that then those second five can't score.
Yeah, that's absolutely a great point as well. I could see that that as well. The Nuggets going that direction. It would be interesting to me. Also, another guy to think about is if Michael Porter Jr. is healthy, where does he fit in to this rotation? Because if he's healthy, whenever that point happens in the season, I mean, you kind of have to play him, right? I mean, he's got that much talent. If he's got a clean bill of health, there you got to figure he's going to force his way onto the court.
You would think. I mean, I certainly, you know, one of the things I love about Malone is he's definitely a you've got to earn your spot sort of a guy. But if it turns out, that Porter Jr. is healthy and can play the way we're all hearing and have seen at least a little bit of, you got to think yet again, that's, you know, I see a few beads of sweat on Will's forehead, because that's then things get really interesting as to who gets that starting five, because I think that's the future if things work the way they can.
Right, that's the ideal scenario, right? Is that Michael Porter Jr. becomes that starting small forward, and then I mean Will Barton would still be your sixth man, but if that option is available to you and you can be successful with it, obviously that's the way you want to go, because that's the long term.
Yeah, I'm grinning from ear to ear just thinking about it. Yeah, absolutely. Right. No joke.
I've already written on it. It's there's so much I think that can be riding on Michael Porter Jr. and his health, and where it could take the Denver Nuggets. What about the other guys, though? I mean, we kind of talked about Isaiah Thomas, but I guess to touch back on him, how concerned are you if he's out for an extended time? Do you think Monty Morris will be able to fill the roles as the backup point guard over, you know, 20, 30, 40 games if it ends up being something like that? Or do you think the Nuggets would maybe have to do kind of what they've done every season, which is at some point they end up trading, you know, trying to get some sort of veteran point guard in there to just hold the ship while basically Jokic is off the court?
It's a great question. Let me start this by calling myself out and saying that I was one of the first people I heard last year saying that we should kick any veteran point guards to the curb and run with Moutier. And you see how well that worked out. So take whatever I say from here with a giant grain of salt. But from what I saw with Morris, I think he's good. I think he's ready. I don't think he's Isaiah Thomas, but in ways that might actually work better for us, depending on what it is we need out of that position. It's an interesting question, Zach, with Thomas, with Porter Jr., even with Vanderbilt, and especially with those second two guys, I'm in no big hurry. I'm pretty excited about the team that we can put on the floor without any of those three guys playing. Now, obviously, IT is only with us for a year, right? So you kind of hope you get to see him at some point. But I still think with any of them, the last thing I do is rush any of the three of them. Thomas will be rushing himself just because of what he needs to happen this season. And the other two had better be able to do back handsprings before they ever see the court. And I want to see them fully healthy before they get out there, because we're not going for a championship this year and we don't need them yet. Let's bring them out when they're fully ready to go.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those two guys you're not really relying on at all. They're outside of the rotation in terms of where you were at last year. They're both rookies, you know, and rookies, even talented rookies. And we talk about how talented Michael Porter Jr. is. And the thing is that if healthy, his talent level, you know, had people considering him to be a top five pick. Top five picks do tend to play, but usually it's because they play for crappy teams who are have nobody else to play.
Yeah, they need the exposure. They need somebody showing up and looking good. You're absolutely right. Exactly right. The Nuggets don't need
that. Yeah. And what we talked about too, I mean, those other teams, they don't have the expectations, right? The Nuggets have expectations. If they don't make them, then there could be serious changes that happen to the team. They're not going to look to a rookie to lead them, you know. So I'm with you 100%. Michael Porter Jr., Jared Vanderbilt, especially. I mean, he's definitely arguably the last guy. He probably is the last guy in the 15-man roster. Those two guys, you wait until, like you said, they do back handsprings. But yeah. IT is the kind of the interesting one. I'm with you on Monty Morris. You know, he's not Emmanuel Mudiay. They're very different types of players. Yep. Mudiay was the guy. The thing that made it so hard with Mudiay was that he really struggled with ball security, and that's something that's one of Monty Morris's strengths, one of his best strengths. So there, I think that he's going to be okay. It's just a matter of, I think we really touched on it, that how much effectiveness on the bench do you lose without that score like IT? Who would step up in that position? Do you then suddenly feel like you're in a situation where maybe you are trying to get Michael Porter Jr. back on the court because you just need some scoring off your bench? It could make the dynamics of the team a little bit different. So he would be, I guess, the one I would say I'm the most concerned about. But especially because he was the one who we've got the most recent update that, hey, they'll probably not be ready for camp.
Right. Yeah, that was a surprise.
Right, exactly. And everybody kind of figured he would have been. But I think overall, like you said, the Nuggets will probably be fine. So there's not too much concern there.
Well, and the other thing that surprised me about Morris, and I would really value your thoughts here, because I watched Summer League typically after the fact. I'd catch the games pretty late, a day or two after. And obviously understanding, as I'd said earlier, a very different level of competition. But it really seemed to me like it wasn't just that Morris was, you know, doing his usual low turnover, you know, high assist percentage. I mean, he was putting up some points and right. scoring pretty handily. And I know that it's going to be a very different group of guys he's playing against, and probably will have to pick up that speed again. But you know, he played for us last season in a few spot roles and did not embarrass himself. I'm not sure he's not going to be able to come out and, you know, provide some points off the bench for us as well.
Right. You know, he's a guy he kind of reminds me of is Andre Miller. He doesn't quite have the old man post game that Andre Miller had.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're very similar. I mean, not a guy who's going to necessarily be a great floor stretcher, but he's got that good – that mid-range game and a way to just create enough space with his dribble to be able to get that, you know, that 15 footer off.
Yeah.
And he knocks it down, you know, with regularity. So yeah, that's,
and he's a threat. He's a threat. You can't sink off of him, even if he's not hitting right away, the way you could Mudiay. And that was what always made it hardest for me with Mudiay was, you know, if he missed his first three shots, you pretty much didn't have to guard him the rest of the night. And that I made it really difficult for the offense to keep the opposing defense spread, you know? And so, yeah, I think Morris is going to bring something very different.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's going to have that opportunity right out of the gate. Yeah. So it'll be fun to see if he makes the most of it. All right. I tell you what, let's go ahead. Let's hit a break. Man, we still got to get a lot to get to. So, when we come back, I want to talk about Coach Malone, because we've touched on that in my house. He is in the final year of his contract,
right.
At least the current one that he's on. And I want to talk about also, you know, some of the starters. Maybe if we talked a little bit about Will Barton, if there's anybody else we think might could get pushed out of that lineup. And then, like I said, we'll finish up the season with a prediction for season win. So keep it right here, and we will be right back.
We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work.
Welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. Zach Mikosh, Mike Olson. We spent the first half of the show talking about all kinds of different things regarding Media Day. We're going to keep it going. And, you know, one of the biggest, one of the biggest storylines heading into the season is going to be Coach Michael Malone and the fact that he is on the final year of his contract and that he did not get an extension in the offseason. The Nuggets have essentially, by their actions, have shown that they're willing to let him play this contract out and kind of really, really have a, you know, I mean, you talk about a prove-it year. There's nobody who's had a more bigger prove-it year than Coach, because he's going to have to prove he's worth the second contract here in the deal. It'll be the beginning of the season, I think it's going to be possibly the biggest storyline to watch, simply because I think it could swing so drastically depending on the way the Nuggets get off to open the year. If they come out really hot, like, you know, you say the Nuggets in the first 20 games or something, like, let's say there's something like 14-6 or right, something like that. You know, I would not be surprised to see him get an extension that quickly. You know, if they just say, if they've got it rolling through that first quarter of the year and it looks like, okay, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. Cause I think that is essentially the requirement for Coach to get an extension. You know, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs because they're off to a great start. I think they might say, you know what, let's not even have this hang over our heads for the year. Let's get this done right now, and let's make sure that everybody is knows that we're all on board and we're going to keep this thing rolling. At the same side, if they get off, let's say they get off to a, you know, 6-14 start, the opposite.
Yeah, upside down.
I mean, that seat's going to get really, really hot, really, really fast. Because, again, then you're looking like, man, it really doesn't look like we are going to make the playoffs. And suddenly, again, I think that's the requirement. Mike, let me ask you this, I guess, on it. One, I guess I would say, would you agree that's kind of how quickly it could swing? And then two, I mean, what are the implications? You know, that we talk about a lame duck coach and how that can be a terrible thing, and I think that's more of a football term than necessarily a basketball thing. But I mean, are you concerned that the Nuggets have decided to let Coach play out his deal?
I'm not really
coach out his deal.
Yeah, I'm not really, and I think lame duck is perfect for it, Zach. I think to your point, if it gets too far into the season, it can certainly be a real albatross for the team because it just becomes a distraction. You know, I hadn't really thought about it in terms of those first 20 games the way you're talking about. I suppose if it's that hot out of the gates, that's at least a possibility. My thinking, just because it does really, it seems like the front office really tries to stay out of those types of, not just storylines, but conflicts, right? They really do try to keep things pretty calm and smooth around the team to the best of their ability. They've worked hard on, you know, personality types and things like that. Where I would say that you've probably got the best marker for this to happen one way or the other, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if it doesn't happen before the All-Star break. Basically, if we're looking pretty solid and we're moving in the right direction that way, I could definitely see them making that decision and pulling the trigger just to make the extension and basically give them some downhill momentum into the second half of the season and really, you know, have something to be chasing after, knowing they've got some security that way. To your 6-14 proposition, I cringed a little bit, and I totally don't expect that to happen, but you're right. It could. And if it does, I think to me, and maybe this is crazy talk, but to me, the big tell there is going to be why, right? I mean, if three of the starters got injured before we ever started the season, then crap, who knows? You know, I mean, I wouldn't hang that on coach. If we're 6-14 because we're basically trying to run the offense through Millsap again, because coach has just decided that he wants to put, you know, Joker somewhere else, then I hope it doesn't take 20 games for us to make that call, basically. And I say that with a ton of bias. I'm a huge Malone fan. I think the world of the guy. I had an interview with him a couple of years ago that was just one of my favorite things I've ever done for Stiffs. And so I really will admit my bias there, but I will say, you know, if he starts tampering with what works well, and he's going to have to tweak a little bit with the bodies coming in, but if he starts really messing with what we know is the way it should work, I would be worried about his odds of sticking around, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I am. That's why I said. I mean, if you got and you're right, a 6-14 start, it would seem like if it wasn't injury related, then yeah, I mean, obviously you would have to, because something has gone terribly wrong. You know, that we would have started that poorly, because the Nuggets actually have a pretty decent schedule. It's not like they've got a gauntlet of a schedule to start. They once again have a gauntlet of a schedule to end. They actually need to start off really quite well to make up for the tough end. So, you know, if they were 6-14 or something like that, or even, you know, I don't know where that cutoff gets, whether it's, you know, it's funny. You talk, it is 8-12. You probably, maybe then you don't, I don't know. You know, it could be that kind of thin of a margin, but if they start getting into that thing where they're looking like, man, they're way behind 500, then obviously something would have gone terribly wrong. And so then, yeah, you'd have to do something, I would think, to try and shake things up and maybe wake the team up, and you can't fire all the players. So
agreed,
that would be the only cause. But I'm also with you. I expect coach to get an extension. I expect the team to make the playoffs. I've been on one of the times I feel like I'm the people on Malone Island, especially a lot of times last season. There was a lot, especially from the fans, that really really thought the Nuggets should make that change, and I've just always consistently stood by his track record that the Nuggets have always been a better team every single season. Yep. He's been the coach. Yeah, so
agreed.
And while you could say, well, yeah, that's because they had they found Nikola Jokic and he got better every single season. Well, that you can't just say that's all the player and none of the coach. I mean, they're intertwined.
I think coach has definitely shown signs every time of learning, even when you see him run an experiment where, you know, even those of us who really like him and are pretty loyal his way, he'll run an experiment where I will admit I was a little confused by him, you know, taking the ball out of Joker's hands early last season. But right. I will say he learns. The guy figures it out and he learns. I said all of that tongue in cheek because I really don't see that experiment happening this year or anything of its sort. I think he's pretty well figured out that even if he's a defensive guy and he wants more defensive ball, you know, when you've got a hot rod like that can run that way, that's your bread and butter. You go with it. And he's been adaptable enough to be willing to make those changes. I know a lot of coaches who wouldn't. So I hope we see him for quite a while.
Tom Thibodeau. So I mean, we kind of talked about how it's basically going to be like playoffs or bust. Mike, we also talked about how the Nuggets dodged that question last season. I think basically what they said was that they're looking for improvement is all that they wanted. They just wanted to get better, which is kind of a pretty lame answer, to be honest with you. But what do you think? Do you think they dodge it again?
They can't. And here's why, at least from my perspective. If their goal this next season is still improvement over the playoffs, right? We literally were a point and a second and a shot away from making the playoffs last season.
Right.
The one way to improve last season to this season is making it over that line. So whether you're willing to say the word or not, and hopefully they will, I've got a feeling they'll probably be a little more vocal about it this year, but yeah, that is improvement. And if you don't make the playoffs, you didn't improve. And so, you know, if they try to trot that line out again, that would at least be my response, is what is improvement if it's not the playoffs?
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That is a great way, I think, to point that question at him. Maybe we'll see if we can needle him a little bit on that. But no, I think it's, you know, I mean, obviously, like we were talking about with Coach in the final year of his contract, I mean, maybe you keep that message indoor or behind doors, and then to the media, you just continue to give kind of that. Like I said, it was just kind of a cheesy answer last year, and it makes sense. It's, you know, you're not. Don't feed that narrative and don't paint yourself into a corner, because there's no really reason to do it. I mean, that is one of the reasons why, if I wonder, they might kind of dodge it again, just because, I mean, what do they have to gain if they say, yes, you know, this year the expectation is we make the playoffs, and if we don't, we're going to be very disappointed. One, that should be the expectation every year, so I don't know if even that would be a real answer. But two, they don't even have to say that. They can continue to just say, well, you know, we're just going to continue to get better as a team, and we think that should take us where we want to go. The fan reaction after 1 week is probably the same, so it doesn't, you know, I don't know that it necessarily matters. It's just, I hope, though, I'm with you. I hope that they come out and say, you know what, this is, yes, we expect to make the playoffs this season. If we don't make the playoffs, you know, we're going to have to we'll be very disappointed. The season went.
Yes. Now, again, circumstances can change, right? I mean, things can change as to how the things are playing out. But otherwise, yeah, I hope that's their take as well, Zach. We'll see where they go. They've been cagey about it before. It'll be interesting.
Right. They've been playing the media game. No more. We want honest answers. We want transparency. Denver Stiffs, hard hitting news.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So we kind of touched on this. You kind of touched on it there a little bit with kind of Coach and how him figuring it out. But I think also when it came to the Jokic and Millsap pairing in the beginning of the season, and even at the end of the season, when they had struggles, that was also somewhat just between the two players, and primarily Jokic just being a little too passive and deferring to Millsap a little too much, because Millsap has obviously a very successful career, and Jokic being the type of personality he is, he respects that and wants to make sure that Millsap knows that he respects that. But Millsap at the same time knows that, hey, we're only going to go as far as Jokic does. Mike, do you think those guys have got it figured out now? Do you expect them to maybe get off to another kind of clunky start? I think is the word we do. Clunky was kind of the word we always used to describe it. Yeah. Do you think that's going to happen again, or do you think these guys hit the ground with their feet running?
I think at least by season start, Zach, they hit the ground running, and I think there's a couple reasons there. There was twice last season, you know, just before Millsap's injury, and then, you know, about 6-7 games after he came back, where they really started developing that pattern, that rhythm again, and it really started working well. And that second time really was based a lot on something that, you know, Zach Lowe reported on ESPN, an article this week, where he was actually talking about Jamal Murray. But one of the things he brought up on the side was that, you know, there was a slightly reported, I think I saw it more from us than just about anybody, point of the fact that there was a point nearing the end of the season where I think everybody realized that they weren't on the trajectory they wanted to be. It wasn't just that Joker said, I'm going to take over. It was that, you know, Millsap made a point of pulling him aside and saying, hey, you know, we have to go, and we're going to go through you, basically. And I think that was the moment that this all kind of figured itself out and became okay. I'd be really shocked if that sort of hierarchy that they figured out together doesn't just transition right into this season. Right. And if there's any oddities that way, you know, for me, they've got a month of preseason and camp to sort of work that stuff out. I would be shocked if they are out of rhythm when the season starts, frankly.
Right. Yeah, I tend to agree because, you know, they started to really get it figured out right before Millsap got hurt. And then when he came back, you know, I don't know if that it wasn't necessarily just clunky a little bit because Millsap was still hurt. I mean, he was clearly not at 100%.
Never was. Never got to 100% by the end of the season. That was a hack crappy foul. I'm still upset about that one. That was just crazy. He gutted it out, but he never did come back to 100% last season.
Right. So now you finally got him in that position where he's healthy. They've been playing together. They'll have all of another off season together and training camp and everything like that. You know, I would be with you. Maybe there's some kinks, maybe because you're trying some new things in the preseason, you know, and that's the time to experiment. So maybe that looks a little bit clunky then, but I would expect by the time this thing gets really rolling, we're into the regular season, that those guys are clicking. And if they are, man, I think it's one of the things I think it's most overlooked about the Nuggets going into the season is if you've got a healthy Paul Millsap who is in tune now with what the Nuggets are doing and playing that kind of style of offense. Remember, the Nuggets play a totally different kind of style of offense than what he was used to in Atlanta. And even though it's kind of funny because even though Atlanta had a very synonymous player to Jokic and Al Horford, but Millsap himself, you know, he mentioned that when he came over here, how different it was playing in this offense. But now that those guys are all together, I think, man, you're talking about a guy who is an all-star and a guy who looks like who should be potentially an all-star this season.
I really think we're going to get our first look at what we expected out of Paul Millsap this year. I think we saw flashes of it last year, but especially because by the time he got injured, we were just figuring it out. You could see that he and the other guys were really starting to get kind of excited and geeked out about where it was going. And then when he came back, like you said, he never came back 100%. I think this year we actually see what it could be. And I think we see it hopefully, you know, straight out of the gates. I'm excited. When the offseason chat I got to have with Scott Hastings, I mean, when he said he fully expects to see that starting five put up somewhere in the neighborhood of typically 80 to 90 points a game, just those five guys. Oh my God. I am stoked. That's going to get fun quick.
No, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a potent group and if they're all healthy and then they're all going, I mean, it's obviously not the best starting lineup in the NBA or even in the Western Conference or maybe even in their own division, but it is certainly one of the toughest, one of the toughest around. Yeah. Mike, if you were going to pick one starter, I mean, is it definitely Will Barton? Is he kind of like the only starter you see who potentially could be pushed out by someone else? You know, let's say like a Michael Porter Jr. Plays great, or maybe they put Barton back just on the bench just to help out, give the bench more scoring punch. Is there anybody else you think that could potentially get pushed out of a starting spot?
I mean, it would have to be something rather drastic or unimaginable to me, at least anyway, Zach, as I go through those other four guys. I don't, right. I mean, you just built your team around Jokic, right? That's pretty much a given. The kind of money that you're paying to Millsap and the kind of game he can play compared to the guys who are backing him up. I have a hard time picturing that. I do think Monty's going to be great, but I certainly don't see him pushing Jamal in the slightest. And they made it really clear to IT in the, you know, the conversation before he actually even got to talk to the front office, just he and Malone. Malone said, you're here to back this guy up. And so that one goes away for me rather quickly. And it may just be my own personal, you know, Gary Harris man love crush, whatever. But I don't. No way. I mean, every year he's coming back better. And I just, any of the guys we can talk about there, I do like Craig's game. I do think that, you know, we could definitely see a lot more from Malik Beasley, you know, kind of popping up in his third season and really starting to show something. But I can't imagine any of those guys pushing Harris. So I, you know, I think Barton's the only candidate, and not so much because I don't think he belongs amongst the starters. I absolutely think he does, and I think he's an upgrade. For me, it's only if they need to pull some sort of a punch to the bench. You know, he's your chaos factor. He's that guy that's going to do some damage in that role. And so it's I that's the only one I see. I don't know. What about you? I just rambled on for way too long. So
No. You're fine. Yeah. I tend to agree. The only Paul Millsap, I guess, is a guy who maybe if somebody like a Trey Lyles or a Juancho Hernangómez just really lights the world on fire coming out of the gate, because because Paul, he's longer in the tooth than those other guys, and probably is not a long term. You talk about the long term core; he's probably not part of it, just because he doesn't have that much long term left in the NBA. But I would be hard to bench a guy who you're paying $30 million a year, So
yeah.
maybe it's not even that he's a starter, but maybe you start to see, his minutes are dropping around to around like 25 a game, and you're seeing a guy like a Trey Lyles coming up to close to 25 minutes a game as well. And so there, it's almost, Paul's starting, but, this other guy's actually getting more minutes off the bench sort of scenario. That's probably the only type of kind of thing I could see, but I tend to agree. And I even think that, I'm with you. The Nuggets would change something is if they just got to a point where they're like, our bench is just so awful that we have to put Barton back on there because Isaiah Thomas is still not healthy and Michael Porter Jr. is still not healthy. And, and these guys aren't shooting as well as we thought they were and so on and so forth. Then you might make that move, but I think that they're pretty much set on that starting five as long as they're healthy.
Yep, I feel the same.
Okay, well, we're just two more quick ones, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Mike, let me ask you this: if you could pick one Denver Nugget to have a breakout season this year, who would it be?
I'm gonna split the baby here a little bit, Zach, and just because of something you mentioned. I think that both Juancho and Malik have way too much talent to not crack an NBA roster. I think they're both coming into what is typically a guy's breakout season. So from my perspective, just mathematically, those would be the two guys that I'd probably put my money down on the table on, of one of the two of them having the type of season where you go, oh, wow, I'm surprised they haven't played more of this guy before. Right. But beyond that, I do think that I've got a funny feeling that there's going to be a lot more conversation about Jamal Murray by All-Star break this season than there has been. I know people like him. I know he gets mentions, but I have a feeling he's going to be talked about in a very different way by halfway through this season.
Yeah, no, I think a good pick, and a guy that you maybe think is going up for a most improved player award potentially, or a guy who, like you said, could, maybe he doesn't become an All-Star this year, but is actually getting some conversation about whether or not he deserves it. I could see him being, people writing about how Jamal Murray is a sneaky All-Star candidate but won't make it just because there's so many good big name guards in the West. But, that's a guy I think everybody's kind of looking towards as saying, this is the guy we really want to see make the leap. He seems to have still a decent gap between where he's at right now and what his ceiling could be. So if you can see him kind of make that move from being, a solid starter to being a borderline All-Star, that suddenly, now that you're talking about just a team that is going to be that much more potent because they have that player. Some other guys I'll be watching that we're doing. I do think it's going to be interesting to see what Trey Lyles does this season, because he's in a contract year. He's also, yeah, I mean, good. He's got, and he's shown a lot, so he could be potentially a very good piece for the Nuggets long term. Still, he's still very young when you think about it. I think he's only like, 22, 23?
I think that's right, so 23,
He's definitely a guy I think I'll be watching. And then you know what? I'm curious to see what Torrey Craig does. Can he continue the kind of the Cinderella story and now take that next step and be, instead of that guy who is, a spot rotation guy, to an everyday rotation guy, and a guy who really is making a big impact on the team? So those would be two guys who I would not necessarily expect, but I'll be watching to see if they have a breakout season.
That's good.
All right, Mike, we're going to – sorry, but you're going to –
No, that was it. I was saying, it's a good broad list. I like it. That's really cool. Yeah.
Let's see. We got to get in the very last one because we've been teasing it from the get-go. So I'm going to put you on the spot to close out the show. What is your prediction for wins this year for the Denver Nuggets?
I was hoping to make you go first on this one. Okay. I have actually I do tend to come into these things a little bit the eternal optimist. So with that grain of salt and still happy that I narrowly caught the last 2 years predictions, I believe I'm going to go a little long. I think they're going to put up at least 50 this year. I'm going like 50 and 32. I think they're going to have a hell of a year.
15-32, that wouldn't be bad. It's been obviously since what, 2013, since the Nuggets eclipsed 50 wins. It was like a thing. It's just a thing they did every season back when George Karl had Carmelo in his prime. But nowadays it's been quite some time. That's I think they're gonna get close. I don't necessarily think they're gonna get quite there. I have them at 48 wins. That is the number that came to me over the course of the show that I felt like was the.
Does 48 get them in, Zach? Does 48 get them into at least the eighth seed, do you think?
I think it does. I think the eighth seed is probably right around where it was last season, right around 46, 47. Yeah, I think it'll be somewhere around like that six to seven seed potentially. I think a lot of people have them picked as like a five seed or a four seed.
It'll be
tough to get there, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I have high expectations, but you're right. I mean, I feel like we say this every year, but I mean, my God, the West is just,
Now we have LeBron as well. Yeah, so, you know,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, you figure the Lakers are going to take one of those eight spots because while I finally expect LeBron to not be in a championship for once this year. I certainly, will be shocked if he doesn't at least propel them into the playoffs. So yeah, it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be interesting.
It is. Yeah. It'll be fun, though. It's going to be fun as well. So it'll be, yeah. And it is. And it starts. It starts on Monday. So we are excited. All right, everybody. We are fresh out of time. Like I said, make sure you're following everybody on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Mike is at Visible Mike. Make sure you're also following Adam Mares at Adam_Mares and Brendan Vogt. BVOGT 422. All of us will be at Media Day with the exception of Mike. He's going to be the head back to LA, but he will be out there at preseason. So make sure you're following all of us to get updates in real time. Also, of course, follow Denver Stiffs at Denver Stiffs. Make sure you're following Nothing But Net Radio at NBN-Radio. And we're also over on Instagram at The Denver Stiffs and on Facebook. Tons of cool content going to be on all those platforms this year, you guys. It's really exciting. You want to make sure you're following all of it. Want to make sure you're getting all the Nuggets content that you need, and you can get it all from Denver Stiffs. Also, if you are listening to the podcast version of this, we would appreciate if you left a rating and subscribed. We'd also tell you to download the Dash Radio app on your phone. You can listen while you're driving in your car or on your way to work. All kinds of different shows, team-specific, just like this one, NBA general shows, and then cool music in between, so make sure you're listening to that. Also be paying attention, though, on the podcast versions for some cool stuff as well ahead for the Pickaxe Pundits. We've got some big stuff planned for this upcoming year that I think you guys are going to really like. So, all right. Mr. Mike, it is always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
And with you, my friend, have a great time at Media Day this year. Some great stuff in the questions today, Zach. Really loved it.
All right. Well, hey, I have to bring my A game when I've got Mike Olson.
Oh, very kind.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.